Good afternoon, this is Eric Owens. We're speaking with Mr. Leo McGilrath of Danbury Senior Center. He's going to update us on the 1990 flood in Danbury and how it affected us. Sorry about that. Can you just tell us briefly what happened before the flood actually hit?
Okay, I was a junior in high school, and I was babysitting for my brother and his wife's child down in the south end of town. And we noticed he had just gotten home and the rains had begun to come down in a pretty steady stream to the point that he had said on his way home this evening about 11 o'clock at night that he had a hard time getting up through the area where the Still River comes down the Triangle Street area. That's where he lived. And it had come so quickly that his neighbor called us and went over and attempted to divert the water away from their basement because they were living there. It was a finished basement. And we worked for about an hour trying to do this and seemed to be doing okay. We just thought it was a heavy rain, that's all. Nothing more than that. Other people in town had shared with me at the time that by the morning, water was starting to go into people's homes along Main Street as well as a lot of the businesses. Now, times and all, I don't recall because I couldn't even get home in the morning till much later, almost 11 o'clock. Mm.
So how long was the actual flood, was the water high?
The water had come onto Main Street from what I remember for about a day to a day and a half. There was a policeman who died, I believe, of a heart attack, Officer Keating, in the flood while he was fighting the flood. He was in boats and all. There were actual boats on Main Street. The water had gotten that deep. I noticed here in the south end of town, right across the street here from the old jail, the senior center, that there was a store, Flynn Sunoco, and the water had gotten so bad that he called my brother-in-law, who lived in the old Gorman house next door, to come over and help him to put sandbags in to divert the water once again from his office. While they were doing that, my brother-in-law, Jack Murphy, got a call from his company, the Woodman Company, which was down in the middle of the heaviest part of the flood stage, down off of East Franklin Street, is where Woodman was. The water was getting so bad there, he got called into work, as did many of the employees. And the water was building up very strongly then, to the point of them being there for so many hours that my mother, Florence McGilbert, got in the car, prepared breakfast for all these employees, and tried to get down Main Street, and they blocked her. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let her through, so she went up around Deer Hill and down West Street thinking she would get in. She was wearing a red raincoat with a hood on it over her head. And the officer stopped her in the middle of the road and said, where are you going, Little Red Riding Hood? And she said, to my grandmother's, of course. And he said, not today or not. And she said, but I have to bring all this food to my son-in-law and to his co-workers. They've been working all night. He said, there's no way I can let you through. There's all kinds of things floating in the water, and it would be very dangerous. So we are told not to allow any cars through Main Street for the whole end of town over toward the Still River. So what they did was they confiscated the food and said, we do know people who have worked all night. So the flood must have been going for the night. And so what she did was she gave them all the food.
Now, I see in this booklet you have the pictures of the Red Cross at the War Memorial. Was that what everyone was taken to? Or?
Well, the War Memorial's basement had a section at that time that had only begun a few years earlier, mm-hmm. And it was the civil defense area. Now that civil defense area is in the basement of City Hall. And also they use the airport, section of the airport. But at that point, these were the picture that you're looking at in this booklet called Denver and Northern Fairfield County Flood Pictures, the Pictorial Review in 55. They were working on the plan and the strategy and how they were going to combat this thing and try to protect lives and property.
Did you know of anyone besides the police officer you mentioned earlier?
He's the only one who had actually died as a direct result of the flood. And his, I believe, was a heart attack. But there were many people who lost lots of money. I don't have it, but it was listed, and I'm sure it was listed in several of the newspaper accounts and possibly in this book itself. It wiped out temporarily, because everybody either rebuilt or tore down. But as you look at some of the pictures in the book, you'll see that a lot of the places could not be salvaged, that they had actually been just taken down. Because of danger and the weakening of a lot of the structures and all, because the water had actually, through White Street, North Main and White Street, it actually undermined a lot of the buildings, or columns and all, including right down into the railroad.
Now, the downtown area, had that just come, that had just begun to blossom, like, economically and so forth?
It was doing very well at that time. I remember, there were several stores. Downtown was very active in those days. We spent a lot of time downtown. People used to, from downtown at that point, to park their cars for something to do at night, watch the people go by. It was very safe. It was very a nice place where you could really visit one another. Even as kids, we spent every weekend downtown, literally. We'd go to the cheap movies for 18 cents. Well, that one or the other two. There was the Capitol Theater, which was up on almost the corner of Main and Elm. That's gone now. And then there was the Empress Theater, which was right alongside of the palace that's existing now. And they were just on either side of that little alley that goes down into the back. They were lovely theaters, and they used to have all kinds of specials for kids. So we spent a lot of time downtown.
What was on the renewal project like?
I was just finishing up, let me see, high school and getting ready to go away. I actually came back to a renewed Denver. Mayor Arconti was very active in that, I know later on. Mayor Barrett Bowman, I believe, was the mayor at the time, and then Mayor Gino Arconti, who recently died, who was the uncle of Mayor Erica. Very active in the redevelopment and of what could be done to take this Still River and just really harness the water by building. You can see the concrete waterway. Yeah, incredible. We used to have to cross the Still River every day for high school. That's the way I walked to school. And right around the railroad track. Now, most of that in some of these pictures, you will see huge trees and everything else washing through and practically taking the tracks right out. And that is where now the water comes under the road and goes right on through. There was actually a restaurant built right on top of the bridge that went over the water on White Street. And that, most of that all got washed out or demolished in the renewal.
You went away, but do you remember anything like the family togetherness? Was it people helping us join together and help each other during this time?
People really did. It seems like during catastrophes, just like our bonuses, they forget whatever differences they have, and all of a sudden they're brothers and sisters and they get together and stop all this nonsense. Right. Unfortunately, it takes a crazy thing like this. A blizzard in the snowstorm like we had in 88, which brought people together, and sometimes we weren't even in the room and we weren't even able to drive a car. They were confiscated, actually, if we drove the car on the street. But you could walk right down the middle of the street, on Main Street in those towns up there, and people all of a sudden start talking to one another and recognizing one another and supporting each other. And here, especially because you're dealing with, everybody knows, you know, the other's getting hurt. And so they really do get together in times like this. As far as specific stories, I think anyone does anything for anybody else in this instance, and I don't think that's, Disney World, but I think that's real. If you see somebody hurting in whatever way, you try to get this from not going to happen. And this seems to be what, get this thing from not going
to happen. You said that you grew up in
the world. Mm-hmm.
Do you like the way they reconstruct the light street areas? I know they put on the moon and it's like,
from what I remember, I used to cross through there all the time because in early Danbury we had the Frank H. Lee Memorial Youth Club. And that youth club used to bring us all together. That would be my first culture exchange with other youth my age, just before me, just after me. We were in the track and field, we played basketball. They used to, it didn't cost us a cent. And they used to bring us out. And the only criteria, the only ticket you needed to have was you were a young person in Danbury, you were interested in being with other kids. And that was it. No other requirement. And we did this every week. If we went to either in that area on Crosby Street to Concordia Hall, which was right in the flight of the this water, in the directory of this water. Later to Elm Street, not Elm Street, what was it called? State Armory, the State Armory on West Street. We were there, and we were also over at the Elks, Yelp Park. And what they would do is people from the Frank H. Lee Club would bring us over there, and we would play all kinds of sports. They'd blow a whistle and we'd switch. Somebody was playing basketball with switch to boxing. Mm-hmm. Somebody was boxing to go to track and field. And they got us in gymnastics and everything. This is all 3D. And they gave us this for several years in the late 40s and the early 50s in Danbury. This was just such a support system for all of us. And so what happens is we're in that area where the flood took place, over behind Meekers, as you say, and other spots over there. We thought at that time this was all going to be for the good of the town. Get rid of old buildings. Now when we look back, I have to look at a picture and there's a lot of nostalgia because I remember a lot of the old buildings. I remember a lot of the old hotels, even if these being hotels. It was not the nicest looking section. It was a rough section for Denver. Denver was pretty. I mean, it was, we had lots of places where there was absolute poverty. Mm-hmm. If you think of some of the old movies of Deep Down in Mississippi, or Bojan Best and the musical and all, you see all a real heavy slum. Well, we had this in Denver. We had whole sections that you wish the flood would come through and wash it out so that the people could have a decent place to live. But it was really just poverty. And so behind Meekers and all, I'm trying to think of houses down there behind the old, the meatpacking plant, and then the little firehouse. And then behind Volcanoes, Dodo's, Frank Dodo's place was there, Cody, and then down to Rico, a little restaurant in between. Most of that, I think, is pretty well intact. But we used to get our basketball uniforms from Volcanoes, and the only thing that changes there was the shopping makers and Hanes. We used to go to the little, used to call them greasy spoons at that time, the little diners. Stop the murder. And there's a few changes of ownership, but I don't notice a lot of changes that far down on that side of the street. When you cross the street, there were lots of shops involved that that's where a lot of the old hotels were. The old hotels. A lot of small restaurant kinds of places and a lot of bars. All the way down to the corner of all of them together on Red Street. On the left side, all of that got removed, so to speak. And they lost some nice looking places in the process.
Does the city of Wendy know the
remember the club?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not aware right now. I'll have to check with the mayor's office and City Hall to see if there's any actual commemoration coming up. I know the Vets, for example, just had their commemoration with 50 years ago yesterday, I guess, the closing of the war. The United Jewish Center has been doing things all month having to do with the all the stuff in Poland and Europe and all the different towns. As far as the floods go, I'm not aware of anything right now. I'm not aware. I'll have to dig in and find out.
Other than the pitches that were downstairs in the recommendation center. And this book, is there any place else we could get more information or more pictures?
This book belongs to my sister, Scott Fenton. We're having a book. From there, people may have some individual stuff. Our slides and stuff, I don't think, could be any better than this. Because this is right down there, the old Firestone place. You know Firestone? Fire? That's down there in the New England Diner, I think it's down there. That's that little road that comes off of White Street. Yeah, behind the post office, okay? Mm-hmm. It used to be I Street. I don't know where I Street exists anymore. I mean, lots of that stuff. There's your firehouse. And there's your
Maybe
and there's Heyman's. Now, look at that huge hotel. That's gone. All of those buildings on that side of the street are gone. And they were the larger buildings. On this side is more commercial. Most of those are went back into business from Pines and Zion down. Most of those are back there.
I hope so. That book is holding it down.
Isn't it a while? It's an excellent book. I didn't know it existed. My sister pulled it out one day on me, and the day that she gave me this, the way I brought it back to her was the day I got a call by Dr. Janet that afternoon and said, oh, by the way, we're going to do something on the flood. And I said, come on down, but I'll have to go reborrow this book to become more in touch with what's coming. I remember walking, here's how bad the water got. The highest point in this part of town is up on that hill, up above State Street. Prospect Street? I lived on Prospect Street. When I came out that morning, I didn't know what downtown looked like. All I knew was we were told to stay away. But I went in the backyard, walking out of the garden, which was always pretty dry, not enough to not use. As a high school, and it was scary. It was like quicksand. I'd never had that experience.
But how long did you say it took for for people to be able to come out and walk around?
They were getting an okay by the next couple of days. They were still afraid of any gun wire or any of that kind of stuff. If there was anything underneath, so it would be contact with the water.
It was very fortunate just to have that one.
It's incredible. It's incredible. But they were going in and out of all these shops, many of which were electric kind of places. A lot of mechanic places. Harry Harris's was in there. They got relocated later to way down the other end of White Street, almost in Route 6 there. That whole area where the Dunkin' Donuts is now, and the common area of the school, much of that. On this side of the trail, the other side, I don't recall many changes there. On the other side, possibly on the same side as the courthouse, because there might have been changes there that I just don't remember. But I remember houses that were there after the fire. The Genevieve's house. It was right across from White Hall was our high school. That was our high school. So, yeah, that was where we went to high school for 4 years. We never got up on the road.
But Dr. Kennedy's, his wife is downstairs right now, playing bridge. His house is right across the street from, probably the student center, but out on White Street. Pretty much maybe where the parking area is. Yeah, now that didn't get affected.
Oh, hi.
That wasn't washed out, and that was...
So what are these people talking about?
More flood stuff. This is Leo McIlrath, talking about the floods.
I saw an actual mermaid. Seriously.
I think this is a long one as well. Oh, it says 25 minutes, but... Okay, maybe it is.
Oh, this is a cassette. Oh, you
don't
have the cassette. Oh, okay. Okay. And the micro cassette's done and.
Yes. Number 26.
Okay, and that's the only one of those. Right?
I think there's another one. I think it was in the same box. Yeah, 28. There's one here. But I don't know what's on that.
Interview with Dr. Greenwald. Looks like going to be a West Coast mystery. No, we should get that off.
I don't recall how long, to be honest.
But I was going to ask if you want to do something a little different than this for a few minutes. When you're done with this, let me know. Have you look up a couple books for me?
Yep.
Carry on.
They have the originals of most countries that we've given.
Alright, well, thank you very much for your time and conducting this interview on the flood of 1955.
You're welcome. I wish I could be of some service. I told Dr. Smith that's fine.